Okay, well, we're very happy to have Brother Samuel Prasad from Bangalore, India with us today. And he has chosen as his subject an introspection of the Christian.
Good evening. Greetings from our ecclesia and from my family at Bangalore. Way back in 2005, we both were here to attend this convention. Many of you might be remembering. And we also thank the Lord for having brought us once again to have fellowship with this great convention again. And before I start my discourse, I would like to read Psalms 19th chapter, 14th verse. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The subject we have chosen today has a duty towards one's own self. In other words, an introspection of a Christian. The learned Apostle Paul, while giving exhortations, has particularly concentrated with wholesome counsel to the Lord's chosen elect brethren. In many of his epistles, he has advised us in the day-to-day duties of our lives with great care as to how a brother or a sister should expect and face the trials. He also shows the way out with great forbearance, which is secondary to the mighty power of love which our Master has shown. We all know that the time is short, and whatever short span of life we have to live, we are to cherish and nourish ourselves to build the Christ-like character in ourselves. We know very well that the time of the establishment of the kingdom of God is very near. We also have learned many doctrines from the scriptures, and we clearly know that the approach of the great day of Christ is at hand, when the real virtue will meet its rightful and just reward. We very well know that Christianity is a divine institution. It has a divine and eternal purpose. We also know that Christianity is not a human contrivance, but we esteem its doctrines with great regard. We carry the gospel message with great faithfulness and work for it, however foolish it may appear to others. While considering the above fact, we know that the approach of the day of Christ is nearing. We give it a thought and try to know when it could be. The night of Satan's dark reign over the earth is almost nearing the end. Presently, the day of Christ's joyous reign is at hand. As God's people, we cast off any work that is imbued with the adversary's spirit. We arm ourselves with every truth and grace of the Lord's Spirit. As a result, our citizenship in the kingdom of God will be properly attested. Thereby, our patriotism towards the truth will manifest in every walk of our life, and there will be a divine responsibility in us. Apostle Paul, in his future visionary understanding of the future, in his epistle to the Romans, 13th chapter, 11 verses through the 12th verse, has thought of the temptations and other disturbances that will prevail among the truth seekers. Presently, we see the natural tendency of humans involving its time, energy, and thought in worldly things. Therefore, his advice and counsel warns us not to be slothful, but to be always careful and zealous in spirit while serving the Lord. Apostle Paul has admonished us to live a prudent life, constantly warning us to correct ourselves while walking in the narrow way of life. In all of his epistles, he is trying to warn us about the old nature in us and to avoid it. In his epistle to the Ephesians, 4th chapter, 22nd verse, Paul's advice to us is to throw off our old evil nature and the former way of life, which is corrupt with deceptions. We have always thought of Apostle Paul as an illustration of how he was bound with Jesus Christ in total devotion. Every difficulty that was set upon him and upon his path by the adversary proved futile. His devotion to the cross which Christ bore effectually went against all of Satan's attempts. The gospel which he preached, which was Christ crucified, was so deeply written into his own heart that any other gospel, though it be declared by an angel, would be just frivolous to him. Such was his faith anchored in his heart. As his persecutions were one after the other, likewise, there are trials of which are sure to come upon us who will live godly. Paul has a beautiful expression for those who face trials and mentions that in Romans 12th chapter, 12th verse. He tells us that no trial can overwhelm us in these present conditions. And he also tells us to rejoice in the only hope. These trials will not continue forever, and by, it will bring forth respite from those trials. Therefore, when patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, it will lead us at the end into the rewards of righteousness, which is nothing but the grace which is promised for our deeds. Such should be our forbearance that we need, and which we can have only when our dedication to the will of God is complete. Christ must be our life. The only way is Jesus, to whom we should look for wisdom, justification, sanctification, and our final deliverance. So Paul had one aim in ministering to brethren of his time, to see them sanctified in heart by having Christ formed in their hearts with such simplicity of faith. He preached and introduced Christ Jesus. This was his solemn warning to many during his life, which holds good even today. He has a warning for us today that any deviation might not only dwarf our spiritual life, but gradually leads us to a great loss. Such is the kind of separation from the earthly burdens is all that we need, and which we can have only when our dedication to the will of God is complete. Apostle Paul influences us even today through his many epistles, so that all who consecrate themselves to maintain the proper relationship with Jesus Christ by staying focused on him, so that Jesus will make use of our time and energy, even every minute we live for His purpose. Apostle Paul has a sympathetic counsel and a thoughtful advice to such of those who are in poverty and to those who face distresses also. He has a brief outline in these verses in Romans 12 chapter 13 through 18. Romans 12 chapter 13 through 18. Distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So here Paul urges us to share among brethren according to the necessity. While our pastor in his comments has opined that those who have more than they need should share with the truly consecrated among the professing Christians, the greatest necessity of the saints are the spiritual needs, that is, the truthful fellowship. Therefore, it would be the greatest gift to such brethren. Again, to rejoice with them that do rejoice, not to expect much in the present life, but our rejoicing should be ahead into the future. The hope that inspires each one of us will be in the doctrinal knowledge. Paul asks us to partake with those who face tribulation. Here we see that Paul himself has glorified in the disasters he faced while he was visiting many places as a part of the sacrifice which he was permitted to undergo. Even in all the sufferings he was permitted to endure for the Lord's sake and for the truth's sake. Here we remember the prophet Isaiah pronouncing God's decision to afflict the Jews by sending them to Babylon as captives. Isaiah says in 21st chapter 10th verse, O my threshing of the corn of my floor. The whole design of this prophecy, therefore, is to console them and to repeat the assurance that Babylon will be destroyed and that they would be delivered from bondage. Likewise, Paul, while remembering that when we now suffer as Christians, we suffer for Christ's sake. This is God's design, that when we suffer with forbearance, it shall be according and for the accomplishment of God's purpose. Let us endure the persecutions with a blessing to them from whom we get it. While not following our natural inclinations, let us provide things that are honest even in the sight of men. The children of God should be peacemakers and not to disturb peace, but act in accord with the law and order of peace. The Lord said, Vengeance is mine. Romans 12 chapter 19th verse. We know His vengeance will be just for everything, whether it be for good or whether it be for evil. Even if it is secret, will be brought under judgment. Ecclesiastes 12th chapter 14th verse. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, that thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Romans 12th chapter 20th verse. Finally, Paul, in a way, has a conclusion that to love your enemies is the most noble and grand sentiment of Christian religion. Nothing like this is to be found in other religious systems. Christianity alone has brought forth this lovely and mighty principle, promoting harmony peace and love. The idea of overcoming evil with good never occurred to people until the gospel was preached. Upon this principle, all the truth-loving Christians should act in treating their enemies, thereby bringing all those around them to the knowledge of our Lord Jesus, the Savior. Next, we are supposed to be law-abiding citizens in the various communities, especially those presently who live in the Eastern Hemisphere. Then there are the so-called Christian countries wherein the clergy who are to lead their flock into a spiritual environment are a law unto themselves with their own interpretations and rituals that unite with other faiths prevailing in their area. In the Orient, there are many religious systems which have taken root and have a strong and large number of followers. Amidst such was the gospel preached by the then missionaries who visited those Eastern countries. Cultural enhancement was done, and cultural enhancement was established in the past century by way of education, consciousness of personal health, community health, and also the understanding of one's own religious system. Hence, as a result, some who had a zeal analyzed the paganistic rituals and some became atheists, while some furthered their search for the truth. God has wonderfully led these truth seekers, and many came out from their false beliefs. Some even shared martyrdom. In short, the truth-loving brethren and sisters, wherever they are, live constantly as a minority. We very well know that God is preparing a bright class of followers for His Son, our Lord Jesus. This is happening since the onset and establishment of the church, the apostles being its foundation. We know the limited number God has restricted. This number begins from the day of Pentecost and is going to be fulfilled near the future, which is at hand. So God has distributed the selection of these consecrated new creatures since the past 20 centuries. In the early ages, there is a dark period, and the selection process could have been at a slower rate. We do not know. And their attempts with great sincerity to search, locate, and bring them back to our most holy faith. We do not know how many are yet running the race right now. Such of these who have taken an oath of consecration and who live amidst strange and in strangulating ways of idolatrous circumstances have to survive this. Jesus' assurance is that where two or three are gathered, Matthew 18:20, His presence will be there in their midst. This encourages us for mutual advancement in spiritual things and fellowship. Hence, when we realize the Lord's presence when we gather, have to be careful in our words, actions, and the very thoughts of the heart. Paul has pointed out several commandments of these moral laws and has a final word for us, saying, if there be any commandment, any other commandment, it is that, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 13 chapter 10th verse. Our Lord, while answering to the scribe that there is no other commandment greater than this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, the heart that disposes this love to others will be victorious in every trial and temptation. When we consider God's word as love manifest in our Savior Jesus, we see how Jesus delivered God's message and personified his Father's love and showed it in his character for the entire fallen mankind. It is with this measure of Jesus' love for every one of us that our hearts and minds are alive every day with that personified love. Thus, how important should our faith and trust be right in that direction of God's love? We should be always grateful for what Jesus has done for all of us. If we are under stress, should we not be willing to suffer a little? There is nothing great rather than to fight for the truth. In its operation toward our brethren, it is pure, gentle, and kind. Apostle Paul wants us to cultivate this divine love and wants us to be diligent. We very well know through the scriptures that the time is short and we are to build up in ourselves the character which Jesus has laid before us. So, dear brethren, we have no time to lose. If we desire to be finally approved for the great inheritance by which all the brethren in covenant relationship are waiting for the final approval of God. If Apostle Paul could say that the time is running out in his period in the first century, how much greater force does his words apply to us in the present closing days of this age? Looking at the time prophecy, we are almost at the end of the harvest period. When Paul says that the night is far spent and the day is at hand, it is high time indeed that we should get ready, for the grey light of the dawn has started to appear. Paul was right. The night is far spent and we should be ready, for our salvation and deliverance is very near. No one can run the race for us. We have to run. As consecrated children of God, little in number, we are spread throughout the nations. We are surrounded by the cares of this life. We are struggling against sin and evil. Sometimes we are beguiled to such an extent, we become drowsy and need some special advice. It is time for an earnest approach to our present stand, a diligent self-examination is the need of the hour. Let us walk with our cross-bearing more faithfully to the whole will of God concerning us. Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the Romans, 13th chapter, 12th verse, says, "Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." And again Paul says, "Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ." Our pastor has rightly said that while we put on his character in the process, we should substitute our garment of the old nature with new clothing, so that others who may know us outwardly as children of God, a careful and prayerful searching of our hearts will make us to agree that we lack the perfect will of God in us. While we search sincerely and find any unreasonable wrong within our hearts, we want it to be corrected fully with the armor of light. That is the armor of righteousness and truth. In this manner, we have all the wonderful opportunity to put on that spirit of love which Jesus taught. And Paul preached it by saying that it is the fulfillment of the law wherein love worketh no ill to its neighbor. And we have a beautiful and meaningful chapter on love by Paul in his first epistle to the Corinthians, 13th chapter, which is an undying expression of Jesus' doctrine of heavenly love. Not only it is the premier teaching of Christianity, but is more potent for the building of the church, and the church's most effective weapon is love. Presently, this is Paul's call for all of us to have a self-examination. It is the Christian love that will prevail above all that has been recorded in 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, 1st verse through the 7th verse. I'll read it for you. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass of it or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains and have no charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity wanteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Truly, this should be our culture that has been influenced by the scriptures for centuries. Let us practice love as our highest goal. For the sincere Bible students across the globe, their only hope is to discern the difference between the truth and false teachings. And Jesus Christ's prayer to God the Father, before he was crucified, he said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." John 17:17. Jesus also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." John 14:6. The Bible is a book about the truth, and it always upholds the highest value of love among all of us. For example, when the scriptures speak of love, note that love has more to do with what we do than what we think or feel. We read in Matthew 7th chapter, 12th verse, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Works are more important than words, although what we say is an extremely important part of how we treat people. James 2nd chapter, 22nd through 26 verse. James 2nd chapter, 22 to 26. "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Yes, ye see them, then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Of course, Paul and other apostles, we can presume that their lives when they were living were drawing to a close. They were eyewitnesses of the power and majesty of Christ's earthly works. They even saw and spoke with the resurrected Christ. These events happened and changed their lives forever. Later, for many years, they looked for and expected the return of Christ to some extent, but it had not occurred. Even we can recall Apostle Peter, who saw the need to remind people of certain basic principles so that it could not only warn but serve as a source of instruction after his death. Peter, in his second epistle, first chapter, 12 to 15, the second epistle of Peter, first chapter, 12 to 15. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. That is how Peter puts forth that. So further, Peter began by encouraging them to diligently build into their lives the qualities of faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and godliness. So brotherly love and kindness were to be hallmarks of their lives and help them to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter, 1 chapter, 5 through 8. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are the basic Christian qualities that form the character of those who seek to enter the soon coming everlasting kingdom of Christ. We can now very well know how important and the shortness of time that remains for us. We have been warned by Jesus himself, saying that lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. Matthew 24th chapter, 12th verse. Our pastor writes that we are awake fully and apply ourselves most diligently and cultivate godlike and Christlike disposition of love. As Christians, we have a duty towards ourselves and with our chosen and elect brethren. The final test of character is love, in deed and in truth. This is the standard for all whom God will acknowledge as his children on either the heavenly or the earthly plane of perfect existence. So, the development of God's characteristics in our hearts is our highest possible attainment in this present life. John, in his first epistle, 4th chapter, 7th and 8th verse, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. States there. And also in verse 16th verse, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So dear brethren, let us take heed and cognizance of what Paul has been telling through his epistles to various brethren. Let us also follow the principle in which he has given this warning for us in these last days. So let us respect and practice the royal law of love as a duty not only to one's own self and also to the chosen brethren. Thank you.